Shabbat Shalom. This week, our parasha is Beshalach, which means when he sent. Beshalach covers Exodus 13:17 through 17:16 and picks up where Bo left off. In this parasha, we see our people testing the Lord, and every time he demonstrates, he is a perfect and holy God. In our testing of the Lord, we expose our sinful imperfection before a holy and blameless God. Now we pick up in Exodus 13, where the Lord leads our people to the Red Sea. The parasha describes the presence of the Lord as a cloud of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night, always leading our people. When we reach the Red Sea, the army of Egypt is fast approaching. Our people grumble to Moses and complain they should have never left Egypt because they were about to die. In response to the Egyptian army, the Lord commands Moses to part the Red Sea. In a dramatic display of Adonai's power, the Red Sea parts and our people are able to cross on dry ground. When the armies of Egypt attempt to follow, they are swallowed by the sea, returning to its natural state. The Torah records that our people saw the bodies of the army washed ashore and in response believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. This parasha contains one of the most famous songs in all of God's word, the Song of Moses. We sing a variation on that song here at the congregation, maybe two. We have quite a lot of songs at the congregation. I love that. But with a joyful heart, Moses and the people sing of the greatness of the Lord, and I will not sing for you today. anybody who knows me knows why. Mi kamocha ba'elim Adonai, mi kamocha nedar ba'kodesh, nora tehilot osei fele. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? And the answer, of course, to that is no one but the Lord. We move from this joyful song, though, to another testing of the Lord. Our people were thirsty in the wilderness with only bitter water to drink. They once again complained to Moses, acting like they were going to die again of starvation or thirst in the wilderness. And so Moses prayed to the Lord, who turned the bitter water into clean, fresh water for our people. The Lord also gave us a test in that place. He told our people, if we diligently follow his commandments, then we would never experience the plagues and diseases he struck the land of Egypt with. Our people would dramatically fail this test over and over again in our history. It is for this reason we read in Deuteronomy 28, the harsh prophecy that our people would indeed experience these horrible plagues. Since the wilderness was not a hospitable place to live, our people needed food for the journey. The Lord told Moses he was again going to test our people. Our people grumbled against Moses and stated they would have been better off in Egypt, again complaining of hunger, in this case in the wilderness. And again, in response to our grumbling, Adonai sent manna this time, a sweet substance, to satisfy our hunger. We were instructed to only harvest manna for 6 days and to rest on the Sabbath. Manna. I keep saying manna. That's something different. We were only able to gather enough to satisfy our hunger. None of it could be hoarded for the next day. We always had exactly as much manna as we needed. No more, no less. I think that's an interesting principle here. The Lord also said the manna we gathered before the Sabbath would be sufficient for that day and the Sabbath. All we had to do was trust in the Lord to provide, and there would be no difficulties. But even though we had enough food to satisfy our hunger, on the Sabbath, some of our people went out to harvest more. They were not satisfied, violating the command of Adonai. Exodus continues with our people's rebellion at Massah. In that place, our people were ready to stone Moses for lack of water. There's a theme here. Our people tested the Lord in that place by asking if he was really the Lord. So now there's almost a blasphemy here. Even though we rebelled against him, the Lord still mercifully provided water from a rock for our people. So we can see in all these events that a major theme of this parasha is this idea of testing. We test something to judge quality, reliability, and worth. Our people in the wilderness constantly tested the Lord. Even though they had seen Adonai strike the land of Egypt with his wonders, they faltered at the Red Sea. Even after crossing the Red Sea, we acted as if the Lord would let us die of thirst. We tested the Lord through sinful disobedience, and in doing so exposed our sin in the light of God's overwhelming goodness. Now, it's easy to look at a parasha like this and come away with a sense of superiority or shock. We should not delude ourselves into thinking we would have acted differently if we had been there. The truth is, we are as susceptible to doubt and sin as that generation. We may wear different clothes and live in a different place, but when you strip humanity to its core, we are dark, sinful, and God-dishonoring creatures. While Israel tested the Lord was testing Israel. Proverbs 17:3 states this simple truth. The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. And that's not the only place in God's word that speaks to this truth. So the Lord tested our people repeatedly in this parasha, and we failed every time. We did not trust in the Lord to keep his word or to provide for our basic needs. How often in our own lives do we do the same thing? It is easy to understand the goodness of the Lord. It is much harder to walk by faith and trust in him. Now, our people failed to live according to the Lord's standards. But in this parasha, we see the grace of the Lord at work. It was not because of merit that we were chosen to be the Lord's people, but because of his mercy. Our failure shows how desperately we need the Lord to work in our lives and transform us. Our wilderness experience should have softened our hearts, but instead we allowed our hearts to harden. Soon we will see that this generation will not be allowed to enter the promised land of rest because of disobedience and hardness of heart. Just like those who made the exodus from Egypt, we live our lives moving through a wilderness that easily entangles us. None of us passes all the Lord's tests. Like Israel, we need the Lord's grace and mercy. We need a way to him, a truth that withstands testing, and a light in a world covered in deep darkness. It is only through Messiah Yeshua, the one greater than Moses, that we can overcome the forces of Satan, sin, and death. Israel tested the Lord in a bad way. God tested Israel, and God also tests us. But we also need to test ourselves to see if we are right with our Creator. Have you put your trust in the Lord through the Messiah? Are you walking in the ways of the Lord, or are you walking according to what you think is best? Is your heart hardened or softened towards the Lord? Do you trust in him to provide for your basic needs? Psalm 95:8 shouts to us today, today, not tomorrow, not the day after tomorrow, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness. The Lord declared that generation would not enter his rest because they did not know his ways. They heard, but they did not listen. They saw, but they did not understand. And they died in their sin in the wilderness. Every one of us has a choice to make, to rebel against God and have our way, or to seek and follow his way. The writer of the letter to the Messianic Jews builds on Psalm 95 to make this point. For good news came to us, just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. If you have not decided to place your trust in the Lord, then become loyal to him this day, because there might not be a tomorrow. If you have placed your trust in the Lord, then this parasha is another reminder of how sin can easily entangle us. I am grateful every day for the Lord's forgiveness when I fail to meet his righteous standards. Each day that we have is a new opportunity to be righteous servants of our Redeemer. May the Lord continue to conform us to his standard and let us strive to enter into the eternal rest of God, holding fast to our faith in Messiah Yeshua. Thank you.